Not only did the cooking, not only was the cooking very good, but afterwards I had to lay down to recover from it. Okay, that's good. Very nice juggernaut it is, huh? I think where is Kuvera here? That's better. I don't need that. Thank you. That's very good. Okay, so we have been, we'll say prayers. Om Gyanatam Arandasya Jananjana Sarakaya Chaksuru Minatam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manubhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Vedati Svapantantikam Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Yata Patakamalan Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatan Sahagana Ragunatan Nitans Chitam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Vedajana Sahitan Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Valita Sri Vishaka Nitamscha. So I have been lecturing from the prayers of Srila Narottama Das Thakur entitled Sri Prem Bhakti Chandrika, The Moon Rays of Loving Devotion. And in the temple on Sunday, I spoke on the text which describes Uttama Bhakti in the chapter entitled Ekanta Bhakti, One-Pointed Devotion. Now today's verses. The first verse gives a little description again of the opening text that I spoke on Sunday, but I'll read it. And then I'll speak principally on the second text. Text 1 of the second chapter. Anya bilasha tachadi gyana karnama parihari kanya kaya manhe kariba bhajan sadhu sangi krishna seva Napo Jiva Devi Deva E Bhakti Padama Karana. I will worship the Lord with my body and mind, giving up desires for fruitive activities and mental speculation. I will serve Lord Krishna in the association of devotees without worshipping other demigods. This is the topmost process of devotional service. Let's see if I could do sit like a yogi. A little hard here with this chair. I think people don't design furniture properly. Hey, that's much better. Okay. Good, very good. Okay, so worship of the very hard to get everything right in the material world. As soon as you get one part right, the other thing will. So, now let me read the next verse. Maha janera jayipat tate havi anurat purbapara kariya bichar sadhana smarana lila ihate na karohela koya mane koriya sushadha. Translation. I will carefully consider and follow the path displayed by the previous and the present Mahajanas. One should not neglect the practice of remembering the pastimes of the Lord, for devotional service should be performed with the mind as well as the body. This is the essence of sadhana. Now there is a commentary written by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Purport. Previous Mahajanas refers to the sages of Dandakaranya. The Shrutis, described in the Brihad Vamana Purana, and Chandrakant. Actually, it should be Chandrakanti, I think. No, maybe Chandrakanti. But I think it's Chandrakanti. They were extremely eager to have Krishna as their lover. Hence, they accepted the mood and form of a beloved gopi and engaged in the loving service of Sri Krishna. Sri Bilva Mangal Thakur also attained the mood of a sakhi, being greedy for the mood of a sakhi of Srimati Radhika. Thus, he displayed the mood of a sakhi and the process of worshipping Krishna under the guidance of the sakhis. Since these personalities appeared before Sriman Mahaprabhu, they are known as the previous Mahajanas, or great personalities. However, the present Mahajanas are the six Goswamis headed by Srila Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis. The word Susara means highest perfection. So, when we speak about service, we could think about many types of services. In the temple, we sweep the floor, cleanse the temple. We cook, right, in the kitchen. We make garlands. We go out and collect donations. So many things. We do kirtan, of course. We give talks to people. All of these are done with the body. But in these two verses, the point is made that devotional service must be done not only with the body, but with the mind. There's a simple text which Prabhupada sometimes quotes, I believe, from the Bible. Two people were washing clothes. One was taken by the Lord, the other was left behind. In other words, both of them performed identical activities, but one was considered to be qualified for spiritual life, and the other was not. This indicates that the activity of the body is not enough to determine your position in spiritual life, your qualification. But perhaps even more important is the condition of the mind. And Krishna said, man mana bhava man bhakto. Always engage your mind in thinking of me. And so we have to see this point very carefully. Everybody here is chanting Hare Krishna on the beats. And perhaps we don't feel much taste when we chant. Why do you think that is? Because either the mind is thinking about other things, or the mind is not thinking at all. When you enjoy something, your mind is awake. It's not just that the senses are awake, the mind is awake. The mind is processing what the senses are experiencing. And so in chanting, for it to be effective, the mind has to be awake. If you've noticed, when you're very tired, you can't chant very easily. Now you can say it's because, but what, think about it. Chanting means two things, moving the tongue, moving a finger. When you're tired, you can still go to work, isn't it? Think about this. How many times you had to go to work even when you're tired? How many times have you had to cook even when you're tired? And both of those things, going to work or cooking, are a lot more difficult than moving your tongue and moving one finger or two fingers. Then why is it that when you're tired you can't chant? Because going to work, certainly cooking is mechanical. After 20, 30 years of cooking chapatis, dal, and some sabji, anybody can do it without thinking. Just like when you brush your teeth, you don't have to use your mind. We have done it so many times. And similarly, going to work, 10 years, 15 years in the same place, you know where to drive. It's almost mechanical. But chanting is not like that. That's a very interesting point, that actually, although chanting seems very simple, it must be very... It's not simple, because chanting does require the mind, or you have no taste for it. So if you have no taste, to chant without taste is like trying to swim against the current. The current of water, let's say you're, in an ocean. Okay, ocean is probably more familiar than rivers. In India there are rivers with current, but whether it's in river or in an ocean, if you go against the tide, it's very difficult. So if the mind is not absorbed in Krishna, the chanting becomes difficult. Now, Narottam Das Thakur says that he carefully considers and follows the path displayed by the previous and present Mahajanas. It's nice. Kriya and Bichar, both points. Doing and considering. He both considers and does it. He doesn't do it without consideration, and he doesn't just consider it and not do it. He does both. He thinks about it very carefully and acts accordingly. And what does he do? Lila Smarna. Lila Smarna. He says he does the sadhana of Smarna Lila. His practice is done by remembering the pastimes of the Lord. This is the key point in today's discussion. The importance of Lila Smarna. To know and to remember Krishna's pastimes. For the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not just the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, practically all the Vaishnava Sampradayas, especially those Vaishnavas who are Krishna worshippers. That means Balav Sampradaya and even in other Sampradayas where there is devotion to Krishna. The Bhagavat Purana, the Srimad Bhagavatam, is the preeminent scripture. Why? Because in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we have a lengthy description of Krishna Lila. And it's very interesting to see how there are 90 chapters in the 10th Dasama Skanda, 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. There are 90 chapters. And from these 90 chapters, so many other literatures are coming out. Now, but first to understand the past acharyas. Here it says the past persons. And who are the past persons? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur tells us, during the time of Lord Ram, there were many sages. And they saw the beauty of Ram. And they desired to have Ram as their lover. But what do we know about Ram? He had only one lover, Sita Devi. So they could understand there's no possibility. So Ram, because he is the Supreme Lord and Paramatma, he knew what was in these sages' hearts. These were persons who were living in the forest of Dandakaranya. Right? Ram was there in Dandakaranya. They knew Ram knew what was in their mind, so he fulfilled their prayer. They prayed that somehow, and it's interesting, isn't it? They were sages, male bodies. They were men, but they desired to have, they were so captivated by the beauty of Ram that they had the idea that they wanted to have him as their lover. So he promised that when I come again, your desires will be fulfilled. So these sages, when Krishna came, they took birth as gopis in Vrindavan. So some of the gopis in Vrindavan were previously sages in Dandakaranya worshipping Ram. So Vishwanath Chakravarti says, when it says that I will consider the path displayed by previous Mahajans, one of the group of previous Mahajans of the sages of Dandakaranya, and another are called Sruti Charis. They are in the Brihat Brahmana Purana, there is mention about the Shrutis, the Vedic Shrutis. They were all discussing what is the final goal. Shrutis means the Vedas. What is the goal of Vedic study? What is the highest thing? And because our understanding is that everything is personified, just like we don't think Ganga is just, we don't think Ganga is only the river, we think there's Ganga Devi. We don't think Tulsi is only a plant, she is Vrinda Devi, Tulsi Devi. There everything, we don't think the earth is just the earth, it's Bhumi Devi. Everything has got personality. So the Vedas also have personality, and these Shrutis had personalities. And they were discussing what is the highest goal. And they took a tour throughout the universe. And when they finally came beyond the universe to Goloka, they went everywhere. They saw Krishna with the gopis, and they thought, this is the best of all goals. That means that they could choose anything they want, because Veda means Vedanta, the end of all knowledge. They came to the conclusion they could go anywhere, and their conclusive realization was that the best of all, you know, fortunate persons are the gopis. They said the gopis are enjoying the highest bliss of all, so they desired to become gopis, and they became Shruti Chari gopis. So this is another group of gopis. Some group gopis, excuse me, were the sages, right? The Rishichari gopis, the Shrutichari gopis, and then there were also the Kanya, daughters of the demigods, Devakanyas. They were, you know, they were also there, but they're not mentioned here. Another one is this Chandrakant, and you'll see, you have a nectar devotion here? I'll show you where it's it is mentioned, and Rupa Goswami mentions Chandrakant. Let's see. I thought it was Chandrakanti, but let us see what it mentions here. I went to the eye doctor today. I told him these glasses, every time I have to read, I got to go like this. He said, don't worry, Swamiji will take care of it. He's a devotee, he comes here. What is his name? Raheja. Koteja, yes, Koteja. Dr. Koteja. Very nice man. This is a good advertisement for you. See? Chandrakanti. I told you I was right. Chandrakanti, not Chandrakant. Chandrakanti. 144. Okay? Hey, listen to this. Anyway, this is Padma Purana, but that doesn't. Let's see what it says. And it doesn't say where. It is Padma Purana. From the example of Chandrakanti, as found in the Padma Purana, and from the example of the gopis, as found. No, give us more. Here it is. In the Padma Purana, there is a statement about ecstatic love born of spontaneous affection. Chandrakanti, a celebrated fair-faced girl, rigidly observes celibacy in order to obtain Krishna as her husband. She always engaged herself in meditating on the transcendental form of the Lord and always chanted the glories of the Lord. She did not desire to accept anyone else as her husband. She had firmly decided that only Lord Krishna would be her husband. So this is mentioned here, this example. You know, I read recently there was an article in one of the Indian newspapers, and I think it was either in UP or Bihar, that one lady doctor had herself married before a picture of it was Krishna, and she had herself legally married before a picture of Krishna in the law court. So this is a very nice example. So here's Chandrakanti, the Shrutis and Chandrakanti. They were extremely eager to have Krishna as their lover. Hence, they accepted the mood and form of a beloved gopi and engaged in the loving service of Sri Krishna. And then also as mentioned, Sri Bilba Mangal Thakur also attained the mood of a Sakhi. You may know Bilba Mangal Thakur is also known as Surdas. You have seen a blind person chanting, and he's written a very famous book, Krishna Kanamrita. Beautiful, beautiful verses. And all of this took place before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. So these are previous great personalities who all had this mood of, you can say, Sakhi Bhav. They had the emotion of one of the Sakhis, or girlfriends to Krishna. Krishna is their lover. Now, well, we'll say a little bit, and then we'll try to understand what is the difference between the previous Mahajans and the present Mahajan. Because there is some difference. There is a difference. Between the six Goswamis, what came from the six Goswamis as compared with what came earlier? And you'll get an interesting point. So, if you read any of these literature, just like Krishna Kanamrita, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to South India, he found two books, two manuscripts, which he considered so valuable, he had them copied and brought them back for the Vaishnavas. One was Brahma Samhita, and second was Krishna Kanamrita. The Krishna Kanamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found this very, very conducive for the mood of following in the footsteps of the gopis. This we know is the special mission of Mahaprabhu. In the Chaitanya Chaitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami describes that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came for the purpose of experiencing all of the rasas of Vrindavan. As what Krishna had done when he came, still Krishna felt that there was something more to do. And so the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu takes up from where Krishna left off. Really, there's a continuous thing. What did Krishna do? He was in Vrindavan, and with all of his friends, his parents, his friends, his lovers, everybody together in Vrindavan. Still, Krishna felt that there was more to experience. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a fulfillment of culmination of Krishna Lila. He will, all of the Leelas are played out within him. Just like we see, you know, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go into ecstasy and fall into the ocean and be swept away by the waters, or he would faint, and for many hours he would be in a trance experiencing the activities of Krishna in Vrindavan. But in that mood, he was not as Krishna. He was Krishna, but he was not in the mood of Krishna. He was in the mood of Krishna's devotee. And therefore, we call Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the most merciful avatar. He's more merciful even than Krishna, because he teaches us how to love Krishna by showing us the example of how to love Krishna. Now, all of these persons, the Rishi Chari Gopis, the Shruti Chari Gopis, and Chandrakanti, they all wanted to have Krishna as their lover. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu generally was in that mood. But the six Goswamis have something different to offer. The mood of the Goswamis, they're called the present Mahajans. If these other personalities are the past Mahajans, the Goswamis have a different mood, because they don't want to directly become the lovers of Krishna. That's not the mood of Rupa Goswami. It's not the mood of Sanatana Goswami. It's not the mood of Narottam Das Thakur or Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. They want to serve. They want to assist the gopis, and especially the chief gopi, Srimati Radharani. They want to help Radharani to be with Krishna. They don't want to directly become lovers of Krishna. They want to see that Radha and Krishna are united together. And they simply assist Srimati Radharani. And they don't want to be touched by Krishna directly, although sometimes Radharani may arrange like that, but actually in their mind, they are simply the maidservants of Srimati Radharani. That is called Manjari Bhav, not Sakhi Bhav. There's a difference. It's not to be one of the gopi friends of Krishna, but to be a maidservant of the chief gopi, Srimati Radhika. And this is actually, when we say that what is our line, it is called Rupa Nuga Vaishnava, to follow Sri Rupa Goswami, it means to follow his mood of seva. And that mood of seva is the mood of serving Srimati Radharani. So, if one wants to do sadhana, as it is stated here, sadhana smarana lila, the pastimes of remembrance, the type of sadhana or practice is to remember the pastimes. Which pastimes? The pastimes of Radha Krishna Lila. Those pastimes. Particularly, that's what is now being discussed in this verse. So there are so many pastimes between Radha and Krishna. And therefore I said, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Dasama Skanda, out of the 90 chapters, there are 5. The Panchadaya chapters are the Rasalila chapters. And there's also other chapters in which we see the activities of Krishna and the gopis, just like the Venu Gita. And there are some other chapters also, just like when Krishna meets the residents of Vrindavan at Kurukshetra. So these chapters have been taken by the Goswamis as the seed from which to sprout a whole forest of beautiful, you know, flowering trees, which are the beautiful literatures they have written. And they have written so many literatures to describe the loving affairs of Radha and Krishna. And those who follow Sri Rupa Goswami have to become acquainted with the pastimes of Radha and Krishna through the literatures of the Goswamis. And if one is acquainted with these literatures, and if one's mind is absorbed in these pastimes, then chanting in that way becomes very effective, and you will not feel tired. You will not become tired. That chanting brings, you know, awakens one. Now, who is qualified to do this? Well, it is a question of greed. It's not simply a question of, it finally comes to a question of greed. But when that greed awakens, as Prabhupada has repeatedly emphasized, one has to purify oneself by the performance of, or the practice of, regulated devotional service. That means following the injunctions which have been laid down by the scriptures, chanting your rounds, right? Following the principles, worshipping the deity, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, residing in the Dham or being in the Dham as much as possible, or make your house like a Dham. An association with the devotees. These activities will qualify you so that you will be able to read Radha Krishna Leela and become attracted. And the greed will come. And that greed is going to be discussed eventually by Narottam Das. He calls Raganuga Bhakti Vritti, the path of loving attachment. So, what is our goal when we say to become Krishna conscious? What does that mean? To become conscious of Krishna, like what? What kind of consciousness? I mean, in the temple room in the summer, you see flies come and they land on Krishna's body. They're conscious of Krishna. But what kind of consciousness is that? Certainly we don't want that consciousness. They don't have any idea. Still they get benefited, no doubt. But that's not the kind of consciousness. If a stranger comes in the temple room and sees the deity of Krishna, he'll be conscious, but he'll think it's a stone. Stone statue. But that's certainly not the right consciousness. Another person will come, as I said, on Sunday to the temple and go before the deity and pray. You know, maybe for some material boon, right? We said relief from problems. That's not what we've been talking about here. You don't think that the Rishi Charigopi, Shruti Charigopis, Chandrakanti, Vilva Mangal Thakur, they're not praying, give me relief from material distress. They're not praying, give me money. They're not praying like that. Then you may come in the temple. Now let's get more practical. When you see Radha Nila Madhava, what is one of the things that you think when you see them?
Peace.
Well, that's okay. But that isn't going to get you what this chapter is talking about. Peace is not the purpose for which this chapter is describing. Because there's a lot of ways to get peacefulness. And not only that, but you can get peace from people who go to church get peace. People who go to this temple get peace. People who pray to any deity can get peace. Like in, we say, Shanti is peace. But that's not the goal being discussed here. I was thinking of something else. When you see Radha Nila Madhava, what might another thing be?
Beautiful.
Yes, how beautiful they are. Now that's different. How beautiful they are. That's another thing you could feel. Rather, I would add to you that peace may come as a result of something else. To say that you feel peace doesn't necessarily mean you're attracted by their beauty. But the result of being attracted by their beauty, in fact, is another type of peace. It's agitation. It's material peacefulness, but spiritually you'll become agitated. When you see someone who's very beautiful, you may become attracted to that person. You, a beautiful person, beauty attracts. Among all the different deities, like Krishna is one deity, but there are many deities of Narayan and Vishnu or of Ram or Shiva. So many different devas are there. But there are four qualities in Krishna which no other deity has. And one of them is Krishna's beauty. that that beauty of we can see when we look at how beautiful our Radha and Krishna look. I mean, that's the one thing I can say. You know, it's like no matter how many temples come up in Sugar Land, still, you know, on certain days people are still going to have to come here. That's just, you know, that's the way it is. Because of the beauty of this deity. So, if you see the beauty of this deity, now I've seen, for example, in then you can do more. Now you can start to make flower garlands for the deity, or serving the deities in various ways, doing personal services for the deities. The point I'm going to make is that if you chant, when you chant your japa, if you chant remembering the beauty of Radha Nila Madhava, you see what the chanting is like. Who are you chanting to when you chant Hare Krishna? You know, you can say, I'm just hearing the sound. But someone could also chant remembering the beautiful form of Radha Nila Madhava. How come you even put this here, Shamsa? It's creating so much disturbance. Huh? Don't put the pin on where I'm sitting. That'll be another disturbance. It's interesting, isn't it? We put this cloth because we think that the guru should sit, not where we are sitting. But when you go to Vrindavan and you're doing parikrama, you want to sit on the ground there to get the dust of Vrindavan. If someone puts a cloth down, you don't want a cloth. You want to touch that dust. So that proves that, isn't it funny, because normally dirt or dust is supposed to be unclean, but we want that dust on our body. Now, if you can chant, thinking of the beautiful form of Radha and Krishna, and go further, what do Radha and Krishna do? Now let's go a little further. You're all looking every day at Radha Nila Madhava. Do you think that they just stand there and wait for you to look at them? What are they doing? What do they do? Let me ask you, is Radha Nila Madhava living in Houston? I don't think so. You say yes, but I don't agree. I don't think Krishna lives in Houston, Texas. Wherever Krishna comes, that is Vrindavan. That is the Dham. So I don't think they're in Houston. That you are in Houston. But they're not in Houston. So we are not seeing them yet. That means we have not seen them. If we think that they're in Houston. So if they're in Vrindavan, what are they doing? Well, all of the pastimes that they do. How will you know what they're doing? Then you have to read the Leelas of Krishna. We have. Prabhupada has given us the Krishna book, which gives the basic pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And the Goswamis have given so many descriptions of many, many activities. Just like Rupa Goswami writes a whole drama on one pastime, one leela, of Krishna taking attacks from the gopis. Dan Keli Komuri. One whole drama just on that. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has also written an entire book on this one pastime. He's called it Dankeli Chintamani. Our Govardhan Ashram that we have built is just at that place. Then there's another one. Dhanivartana Kundastakam. Eight prayers glorifying the Kunda, where Krishna has taken the tax and where the gopis have exchanged, also taking things from Krishna. Each and every place in Vrindavan is a place of Leela. It's a Leela stan. And the knowledgeable persons, they know what all of these Leelas are, where they have taken place, and when they see their deity, when they see Radhanila Madhava, they see all of these pastimes. And when they chant Krishna's name, they see all of these pastimes. This is what their mind is doing. It's not just nodding out or not thinking. It is absorbed in this way. That is what is said here very clearly. One should not neglect the practice of remembering the pastimes of the Lord, for devotional service should be performed with the mind as well as the body. Not when you chant, not just with your tongue and your fingers, but with your mind. So what does it mean? Now if you say, well, Prabhupada says, right, when we ask Prabhupada what should we think about, Prabhupada said, don't think, chant. Yes, in the beginning you have to say that to someone. Why? We know that if a person who's just beginning starts thinking, what is he going to think? So many mundane thoughts. But it's expected that a person who is practiced after many years will have learned the pastimes of the Lord and will not have to artificial. It's so natural. When you see a photograph of someone who you love, let's say you have a photograph you've taken of somebody, right? You immediately remember the activity when that photograph was taken. So, in the same way, the activities of Radha and Krishna have to be remembered. And when that remembrance becomes perfect, then without any effort, the pastimes will come. And that's called sarasiki. Sarasiki means when the pastimes, now in the beginning stage, when you have to think about one pastime, then another pastime, it is said to be like many islands in a river. And when the pastimes all link up together, it is like a continually flowing river. It never stops. But if you want to get to the point of spontaneous, of the pastimes becoming spontaneous, then you have to practice, first of all. And in order to practice, you have to know what they are. Again, I say that I'm saying this, but each person has to know at what level she or he is at. Because when Prabhupada was asked this question of what should we think about when you chant, his reply was, don't think, chant. That proves that not everybody is at the same stage. And that's obvious. How can it be possible? Every student is not equally at the same level. Someone is in 10th grade, someone is in 5th grade. Right? They're not. Everybody's not at the same stage. So one problem will be if a person in the 5th grade tries to do the homework of someone in the 10th grade. They'll be wasting their time and they'll fail. Therefore, what is, you know, in a more esoteric sense, when it says to do another person's duty is not so good as to do your own, in a more transcendental understanding, we can go beyond Varnashram Dharma and say that to try to imitate this, the stage of advancement of someone who is more advanced than you will also be of no use. Rather, you'll go backwards. So you have to have some ability to discriminate in what position you are at. Each person has to judge. But at least we should know what is the goal. If we don't know what is the goal, then, you know, it's just like when you ask a 10th grade student, right? What's your ambition? They say, oh, I want to become a doctor or a lawyer. They have some goal in mind. Although they're still in high school, they already know, they're starting to think, what courses should I take? What college should I go to so that it will help me to become a doctor? So at least if you know what the final goal is, then wherever you are at now, you can start to think in advance. You can start to plan ahead. You can now understand there is some reason to go to Vrindavan. There is a reason to go to Mayapur or Navadvip. Because that's another thing we can discuss, is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela and how that fits in with Radha Krishna Leela. Because it's very interesting. I was listening to a lecture where Prabhupada says in Miami, he's arriving in the Miami Temple, 1975, I think it was, not 6. I have to look. I was there. And Prabhupada says they only had Gorni Taitis. Prabhupada said, at this point, this is enough. When you become more advanced than Radha Krishna. Then he says, even then, Gorni Tai is everything you need. So we also have to understand the worship of Sri Sri Gorni Tai. How Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fits this. Because in one single deity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Radha and Krishna are together. Ramananda Roy got the opportunity to see Radha Krishna. It is mentioned, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that if you worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the mood of service, dasya bhakti, as a servant, then one day you'll become qualified to see Radha and Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself will show himself and reveal the forms of Radha and Krishna to us. So, this is a very important instruction of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. His mood is to worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a humble servant. And in the mood of humble service, then one day we become qualified. But we should understand, Ramananda Roy was very knowledgeable about Radha Krishna Leela. If you read Chaitanya Chaitamrita, 8th chapter of Madhya Leela, Ramananda Samvad, you see the discussion between Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy. Ramananda Roy was so qualified, he instructed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you are the limit of knowledge of Radha and Krishna. There's no one who has greater knowledge than you. So how did he get all of that knowledge? He also studied. Okay, one can say he's eternal associate of Radha Krishna. But at least in this lifetime, they did study. So, the connection. What is the connection? In the mood of a servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not as an enjoyer. There are some persons who are in the mood of enjoyment. They're called Gauranga Nagaris. They want to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, as Krishna, as the enjoyer. And they pretend that they are like gopis. But this is not accepted by the strict followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They don't put Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in that position. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, you know, enjoying all of the... They don't create that false understanding. Similarly, the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Rupin, Sanatan, Raghunath, the 6 Goswamis of Vrindavan, they were in the mood of service. And their mood of service to Mahaprabhu here is expressed in Goloka Vrindavan, in Radha Krishna Lila, by having the service of Srimati Radharani. They don't try to become gopis who directly associate with Krishna. So the common principle is selfless service. And therefore we can learn this mood of selfless service in this society of Krishna consciousness. We learn it not only in terms of the spiritual master, but we learn it in terms of the other Vaishnavas. Therefore I said on Sunday that if you can do Vaishnava Seva, that's the essence of everything. Prabhupada gave us this opportunity, made a society where we can do Vaishnava Seva. And this will bring us forward on the path. And he ends this verse by saying, very nicely, Koya Mane Koriya Sushara. With body and mind, doing this service, this is the essence. This is the essence of everything. This is the highest goal. So we'll stop here for now and see if any of you have any questions. Any questions?
When the sages desire to be lover of Krishna, and when Krishna...
They became lovers of... They desired to become lovers of Ram.
Right, and he promised them to come to the Krishna and their desire was fulfilled.
Yes.
So they became gopis.
Yes.
But in the role of gopis, as you explained, they did not directly...
No, they did. They did. They did desire to directly be with Krishna, and they were gopis who could be directly with Krishna. But the six Goswamis did not have that desire. They wanted desire to simply assist the gopis. That's the difference between the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that means the present Mahajanas, as opposed to the past Mahajanas. The past Mahajanas, this mood was there of being a lover of Krishna. But this Manjaris, the mood of the Manjaris, has come especially with the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They have taught this Manjari Bhav, which is different than Sakhi Bhav. And we follow the path of the Goswamis. It's still called Madhurya Bhakti, but it's still the sweetness of conjugal mood, but in the mood of assisting. But I again emphasize this point, that you should understand that if persons try to meditate in this way and they're not qualified, then it is like drinking poison. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that the Gayatri mantra, which is chanted, Kam Gayatri, has two effects. Either it will attract one to Radha Krishna, or it will attract one to material lust. If a person who is unqualified, who has still got material desires, meditates in this way, they will be allured by material lusty thoughts. So it's, you know, it is like a razor's edge, or it's like fire. Fire is very good, it can keep you warm, you can use it for cooking, it can also burn down your house. So if you don't know how to control fire, it will burn. If you don't know how to control fire, it will be dangerous. It's like a knife. If you know how to use a knife, very useful. And if you don't, you cut yourself. So don't, you know, fools rush in where wise men fear to tread. Don't be foolish. Everybody should know what is their strength. Just like if you don't practice lifting weights and you pick up a heavy weight, what will happen? You'll hurt yourself. You can't just suddenly pick up some heavy weight. There's requirement of practice, sadhana. How do you know when your sadhana is effective? You'll see that the material desires will become less. If the material desires are still roaring strongly, then you should understand that you have a way to go. But you also have to understand that simultaneously Prabhupada gave us Krishna book, which are the pastimes of Krishna and Vrindavan, and he told us to distribute them everywhere in the world to everybody. And actually it's stated in this, at the end of the 33rd chapter of Ras Lila, that if you hear these pastimes, then it will remove the lustiness from the heart. So there's also some encouragement is given. But it has to be done in association with proper Vaishnavas under the guidance of Guru. Then it will be successful. Otherwise, on one's own, it can become very dangerous. Another, somebody here? Yes. Okay.
The question is the vow of the Goswamis. It looks like Daksha vow, but it is.
It's Dasya Bhav with regard to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but it's Madhurya Bhav with regard to Radha Krishna. It is Madhurya Bhav because their attraction is the loving affairs of Radha Krishna. But in that loving affairs of Radha and Krishna, their role is as the assistants of Srimati Radhika. But their mood is exactly, it is described that their mood is one with Srimati Radharani's. The difference between the other gopis, like Lalita and Vishakha, is that each one of them has, they're in Radharani's camp. So their mood is still very much with Radharani. But they also have their own moods of relationship with Krishna. But the Manjaris have, they are not in any way separate from Radharani's mood. The mood is completely in tune with Radharani's. But it's not Dasya Bhakti at all. It is not Dasya Bhakti. Tadatma is the word. When the Atma becomes one with that person, when your soul becomes united with that person in her mood, Tadhatma, that is their mood.
Only we have mentioned that in the test of Rayan Abhakti, we engage ourselves in.
I couldn't hear.
You mentioned that in Rayan Abhakti, we engage our body studies to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in different matter. That is called Ekantik Bhakti. And you mentioned other thing, that one should chant the holy name of the Lord by remembering the pastime of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Radha and Krishna. That is also Ekantik Bhakti. So, how one should go, in what position one should engage in the last position of the
Huh? And what about the last position? I don't understand.
Last position means one should chanting the holy name of the Lord, remembering the past time of the Lord.
What's your question?
Question is, in what position one should
chant? I don't understand the word position. In what position?
I am an old person, and I in that position, right now I am in the deity worship, I am propagating the holy name.
All you have to do at your position is that you should read and nourish your chanting by reading the literature left to us by the Goswamis, and chant with all of those literatures in mind. And try to always be in the mood of Vrindavan. Don't think you're in Houston. That is it. If you think you're in Houston, that will be a great loss. You have to. That's why I like very much the nice activities that I have seen when I visited Hungary in the last 2 years of Janmashtami I spent with my godbrother Shivaram Raj in New Brajadam in Hungary. And he makes his temple room and the activities of the surrounding that deity just like Vrindavan. The whole thing, if they do so much, they have many wonderful artists there. They sculpted some nice gopis and put them there. They have beautiful waterfalls on the altar. They do so many things. So many things to bring out the mood of Braj. They have long kirtans, 10 hours a day. Very beautiful kirtans. With nice instruments, violin, different instruments, all playing together, very melodiously, just sitting down. They'll go 5, 6, 7, 8 hours. They take a little break in between, then singing songs from Narottam Das Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, all for the pleasure of the deity, having some drama in front of the deity. All night long, staying up, making garlands for the deities, cooking different things for the deities. Everybody's just absorbed, and it isn't any longer hungry. It's Vrajadam. And that's how it should be here. We should be in such a mood. At least once a month, or more, we should have some festival. And these festivals, even if outside people don't come, but the devotees can be absorbed like this. And outside people are invited also, but they'll get into the mood if we are in that mood. So you should be in the mood of Braj, in the mood of Vrindavan. And you have a deity like Radha Nila Madhava, you have Govardhan, Giriraj Govardhan. This is Govardhan. When we have the deity of Giriraj like this, we are at Govardhan. The whole of Govardhan is full of Krishna Lila. It's full of Krishna Lila. Is that helpful? Maybe.
If you never see Vrindavan and never see the deity, how you can picture that in the mind?
How you can picture in the mind?
Yes. You always see here, you are living in Houston, and you always see Radha Nila Madhava. So always Radha Nila Madhava is going to come in your mind. How do we see
by hearing. More important than seeing is to hear. So how to know about Vrindavan? You should hear about Vrindavan, and there are many nice books written not only about Vrindavan as a place but about the pastime. Just like if you read Prabhupada's Krishna book. Have you read this book yet? Not yet. Okay. I request you to, if you read this book, I guarantee you, you'll say that you have gone to Vrindavan. You read Krishna book. Start by reading. Very simple thing to do. Every night before sleeping. This is my request. Every night before sleeping, read for 10-15 minutes from Krishna book. And in the morning when you do your japa, read a little bit from Krishna book, then chant japa and see what happens with your mind. Your mind will be in Vrindavan. You'll read Krishna book, you'll look at a picture, and you'll think, when you're chanting, you'll think, I'm in Vrindavan, this pastime is taking place, and I'm chanting. I remember my disciples, you remember them, they were here, Vidura, remember, and his wife Manjari. They live in Los Angeles. Some of you remember them? What was their family name? Anybody remembers them? See, you all came more late recently. This goes back till 1980, what? 83, 84. I don't know where you were. I was here.
They were Rashmi Shah's friends.
So anyway, he used to be following Vallabhacharya. And he had this nice picture with Krishna's Leela on it. So many different Leelas. And he used to chant one round looking at each pastime picture. Then he would go to next picture. I think he was chanting 88 rounds, he was chanting somehow. He chants lots of rounds. They live right at the Los Angeles Temple, ISKCON Temple. So that, I mean, I'm giving you an example that the point I'm making is that if you, you know, you just see the deity in your mind or in picture, or see a picture of Krishna, and you read the Leela written by pure devotees, and then chant, you see how your chanting will get so much more enriched. But again, I say to some of you here, I don't say this to everybody, but some people may not be ready, then don't do it. Then just do what Prabhupada said when he said, don't think, just chant, just hear. Because otherwise you're going to get bewildered. And I don't mean you or whoever, I'm just saying, you know, if you're not sure where you are, then ask, you know, ask the guru or ask somebody who's advanced, and they may be able to help you if you can't figure it out yourself. But if your mind is still confused and cluttered with so many other things, don't try to do more advanced chanting. Alright, let's chant Hare Krishna. We have kartals? Who's going to play Mridanga? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare. Thank you.